Welcome to another broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. Thank you so much and good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. If this is your first time with us, I want to welcome you. Very glad to have you here. This is our last Sunday in this series. Last week we talked about the importance of stewarding our lives, all of our lives, our time, our relationships, our gifts, our talents, and also our finances to God. One of the things that we wanted to follow up on that with was to just make available to you some financial information about LifePoint Church, if that would be helpful to you. We've printed some of that out, and it's available for you to grab a copy on the back table after the service today, if you would like to do that, if that would be a help to you in knowing how to steward your finances for what God is doing here. And so thankful to see you back today to join us and share in this this last message in this series, asking the question, what does God want, and what would it look like if we were the kind of people that God dreamed about? Today we close with a very important point, one of these five values that we've been sharing with you. And today's value that we're going to talk about is sharing our grace story. And I will say this to you as we wrap this series up, that if we do a great job on points 1 through 4 and we fail to take this last step and sharing our lives with others, sharing our story of what God has done for us and allowing God to use our story to touch those around us, then we've really kind of only gone halfway. And all of these other things will benefit us and benefit our walk with Christ. But it's this point today that really is the exclamation point on all the things that we've talked about and really is the heartbeat of God. Jesus had a lot to say to his followers on this topic. There were so many passages to choose from. I chose one. If you have your Bibles, turn please to Matthew chapter 5. I want to share just a few verses with you as we take a few minutes and look together at this thought of sharing our story. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 13. Jesus is speaking. Important to know that. Not just some guy from some place who may or may not know what he's talking about. These are the words of our Lord, spoken to his followers, and by implication, spoken to you and to me if we are his followers. Listen to what he said. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Now listen to this. You are the light of the world. I don't know if that statement resounds with you like it does with me, with a seriousness of the obligation that comes with that. Jesus said earlier, I am the light of the world, and then he told us, you are the light of the world. Powerful statement. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And we fast forward in the life of Jesus and we get to the moment when Jesus is getting ready to leave this earth to ascend back to heaven. And he has one final thought that he wants to give to his followers before he ascends to heaven and turns the mission over to them. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, these are the words that Jesus spoke in that moment. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my representatives, my ambassadors. You will be." And what Jesus was doing was, in a sense, passing the baton to his followers and saying, "It's in your hands." Does it strike anyone else as a staggering thought that Jesus chose people like you and me to carry out, to fulfill, to finish his mission on this earth? This ragtag bunch of people called Life Point Church, this ragtag bunch of people all around the world called the church, God, in some bizarre decision, in his great plan, chose for people like us to pick up the baton where Jesus passed it on when he left this earth. He chose us to represent him for the remainder of time. I have to tell you, I struggle a little bit with that. If I were God, I would have carried on my mission in some very flashy, significant ways. I mean, there would have been miracles going on all the time. There would have been signs in the sky. It would have been very clear that I was God and I was in charge. But he chose to turn the chapter at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry and write you and me into the script. It's a remarkable thought. I wonder sometimes how pleased he is with what his children down here are doing to fulfill that mission. I wonder sometimes if God thinks back to the cross and all that his son did there and went through there, and then he looks at his children on this earth who have been given the assignment of carrying on the story, and I wonder if his heart aches sometimes when he contrasts the two, what his son did, and now seeing his children seemingly so busy so often scurrying about with our own agenda rather than his agenda. I wonder. I wonder if the words ever come to his mind again that he spoke to Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8, I think it was, when he said, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I wonder if he asks that same question again as he looks at my life, as he looks at your life. And we've been assigned with the task of carrying on the mission for Jesus Christ on this earth. I wonder if he has trouble today finding people who are truly committed to carrying on that mission. Do we understand that the reason God did not take us to heaven the moment we were saved is because he has work for us to do here? Why would he leave us here once we're saved to slog through this sin-filled world and deal with all the pain and the joys and the struggles and all the things that make up life? Why would God give us eternal life and then ask us to stay here? The reason He didn't take us immediately to heaven the moment we were saved is because we are part of his mission on this earth. We have a work to do. And what is his mission? Do we know that? The first day in this series, we asked that question, what does God want? What is it that he longs for more than anything else? And we put these words on the screen from Dwight Smith, who I think says it better than anybody else. What God wants is for every man, woman, and child to have the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel without them having to come or go anywhere. And I shared with you that first Sunday that we would come back to that last statement. That's what we want to talk about today. I think it's that part, without them having to come or go anywhere, that the church has really struggled with over the centuries. As I read through Acts and the letters of Paul, I get a sense that the early Christians seem to have an intuitive sense that they were part of the mission of Jesus Christ. And that if the gospel was going to reach the people around them, it was going to happen through them. And you study church history further out, a few hundred years beyond that point, and you see this dramatic and very visible shift that took place in the mindset of the church. To where prior to this moment in history, the church life revolved around people. And when this shift took place, the church life began to revolve around buildings and events. And it traces back to a man named Constantine. We've talked about him before. Pivotal man in the history of the church. Constantine was the man who institutionalized Christianity and turned it into the state religion called the Church of Rome. And what he did was basically began telling people that if you want to have an encounter with God, you have to come to our service. Now, don't miss this. You have to come to what we're doing, and you have to go through one of our priests in order to be able to hear from God and have an encounter with him. It was a very destructive moment in the life of the church. And since that time, the church has fallen into this pattern of thinking that if people are going to come to know Christ, if they're going to encounter the gospel, the way they're going to do that is to come to a thing that we're putting on, rather than it being the understood mindset and mentality that it was the church's job to go and take the gospel to people. And it's that last statement that you see on the screens that is so important to what we're talking about this morning. The thought, the reminder, this is nothing new, this is actually something very old that we've lost. The reminder that what God wants is for everyone, and what God has always wanted is for everyone to have an opportunity to encounter the gospel without them having to come or go anywhere. How does that happen? It happens when we understand that everywhere you and I go, Jesus and the gospel goes there because it goes in us. Everywhere you go today, everywhere you go this week, the gospel is going there. Jesus is going there if you are his follower because he lives in you. And he is alive in you. I wish I had an hour and a half for us to just hang out here and for me to dig deeper into these thoughts. I'm just able to scratch the surface, but I'm dying to unpack more of this thought for you. Because it's pivotal to how we understand our place in this whole story of God's redemption of mankind. It's vital. And I fear that we've missed it. I fear we've taken a wrong turn. I don't just mean this church. I just mean in general over the centuries. I fear that we've veered off track from the original mission that Jesus had in mind. And we've localized the gospel to a church service on Sunday. That was never our Lord's intent, church. Are you with me this morning? It was never His intent. It goes back to how Jesus instructed His followers to spread His message and to share the good news that He had shared with them. In Matthew 28, we know it so well, the last verses, 18, 19, and 20. What word did Jesus use? He used the word, go and make disciples. He never once said to His church, I want you just to hang out in your services on Sunday and hope that those who need the gospel will show up and hear it. He never said that. And yet, is not that our understanding really of how it all works? We hope they come. Why would people who don't know Christ want to show up here? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to hang out with you if I didn't know Jesus. That's our common bond. And yet over the years, we've just assumed, well, I hope they come. I hope they hear the gospel. And boy, I hope the day they come, Phil has a good message. Otherwise, they're lost and they're going to hell. You see, we've turned the thing inside out. The whole mission of Jesus, we've flip-flopped it. And instead of us understanding that we are His ambassadors and that everywhere we go, we're taking Him with us, we've localized the whole thing. And it's all about this. I'm glad we have this. I love this. I look forward to it every week. But there's so much more to your life and to mine and the reason that we're here. There's so much more than just gathering here on Sundays. And I'm telling you, what we're going to do one Sunday, I'm still trying to have the guts to actually do this. One Sunday, we're going to meet here for a few minutes, maybe sing a couple songs and pray. And then we're going to put a sign on the door that says the church has left the building, and we're going to go out on assignment on a Sunday morning and touch people's lives in this community. Oh, I didn't get any nods on that one. We're going to do what now? Yeah, we are. Because I want us to understand that it's not all about what happens here. It's not if we have a perfect service today and everything got pulled off and we hit all our cues just right. We aim for that, but it's not about that, church. It's so much bigger than that. And what Jesus was saying when He said, go and make disciples. When I grew up, I just have to tell you, maybe you thought this too, but when I was growing up, I had the understanding, not that anybody taught me this, I just assumed it, that when Jesus said, go, He was talking to foreign missionaries. I mean, they go, church sends them off, and we have a big celebration, and off they go. They're going. But when you really begin to crack this open and understand the simplicity of Jesus' plan, when He told all of His followers, not just the trained theologians, but all of them, go. Listen to this. What He was really saying was not go as a one-time special event, but as you go about your daily life, take the gospel with you. You see the difference there? In your going, in your daily going, make disciples. It changes everything. And here's the beauty in that. You don't need any kind of degree to carry out that mission. You don't need any kind of, any kind of special stamp of approval from the church elders or from the Pope or anything else to fulfill that mission. If Jesus Christ has transformed your life, then you have a story to tell, and you can tell it. Now, do we need training? Of course we do. And we're more than happy to help equip people. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have, and do this with gentleness and respect." So we want to be ready. But listen, a child who has been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ can immediately go and begin sharing their story in their own way. I love the episode in the Gospels where Jesus healed the man born blind. And there's no mistake why the Scripture included the part that he was born blind, not just he became blind, because one of the signs of the Messiah, according to the Jewish people, one of the things that the Messiah would have to do in order to prove that he was the Messiah was to heal someone who had been born blind. Interesting. Just an interesting side note. Jesus fulfilled that. He healed the man born blind. And if you know the story, the man went about telling the news and he was excited, and the big boys, the big religious boys, stopped him and they started interrogating him and asking him all kinds of questions. And you can just tell that this guy eventually just got frustrated with the whole thing. And he said this, just as a last statement, he said, "I don't know all those things, but this one thing I know. Once I was blind, and now I can see." And that was his story. He didn't need any training to do that. He immediately had a story to tell, and he became part of the bigger story of Jesus. I love the shepherds who were out in their fields, and they saw the angels and heard the angels, and they went and saw Jesus. And I love when it says, when they left, they were telling all that they had seen and heard. No special training classes. They just started telling the story of what they had seen and what they had heard. And I want you to know this morning that every one of us whose lives have been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ has a story to tell. We all do. And all of our stories are different, but they all have one thing in common: that we've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the common thread through all of our stories. And it's in our day-to-day routine of life, in working with people, in going to school with people, in befriending people at places maybe that we frequent. It's in that day-to-day routineness of life that our grace story can begin to unfold in the lives of other people. And I will tell you this, that a few of those people along the way, a few of them will come to know Christ. A few will. I say that to you because I don't want you to get discouraged. In Acts, it says that when the disciples had finished telling about Jesus, listen to this, you will have the same results, the exact same results. It says this: some believed, some mocked, and some said, "We want to hear more about this." And those are the exact results you and I can expect. Some will believe. Some will say, "She's a nutcase." And some will say, I want to watch this for a while. I think I might want to hear more about this someday. Let's not assume that when God gives us opportunities to encounter and weave our lives into the lives of other people around us in our day-to-day lives, that all of them are going to say, oh, stop, right now, I want to be saved, right here, right now, right on Main Street, let's do this right now. Because that's not how it works. There will be people you will encounter that God will let you do life with and share your story with, and it's your job to love that person and show them the grace and the kindness of Jesus Christ and allow them to watch your life as you walk through different phases of life. And listen, God will call you to that assignment for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years or more. And you may never see any fruit. My dad witnessed to a friend of his named Bill Clemens for 40 years. Almost gave up. 40 years. And Dad said when he was visiting with him one day at his house in Tennessee, standing under the big oak tree, before he left, he said to him again, Bill, have you thought any more about it? I want to tell you the story again. And Bill reached over and grabbed his arm and said, I'm ready. 40 years of faithfulness, of sharing his story, of what Jesus had done for him. Your story is your life. The good things that have happened to you, the hard things you've been through, they all point to God who is faithful. And other people need to see that. They need to have a chance to see the grace of God that has changed our life. There's so many stories in this church alone. I think of one of our men who was abandoned by his parents as a baby and grew up in and out of orphanages and foster homes. I forget how many he told me he had been in. And he's not, I'd ask him today, but he's back working with the kids today. Clarence, I love this guy. He was bounced around from one orphanage, one foster home to the next all of his life. And instead of becoming bitter about that, he chose to say, no, man, I want to take my story and I want to see what God can do with that story. And this guy has such a heart for hurting kids. And when the earthquake hit Haiti, our phone rang one night. It was Clarence. And he said, Phil, Sandy, I want to do something for the kids over there who are hurting, who've lost their parents. Can our church get on board and provide clothes and food and whatever we can do? And you guys brought that mountain of stuff over there that will be on its way soon to a Christian organization in Haiti. Actually, David Cannon's family runs a Christian organization in Haiti, someone in his family, and all that stuff is going to be heading straight over there. Why? Because one guy took his story that involved a lot of pain, and he said, God, what can you do with my story? I think of those in our church who have gone through such difficult things and how I see you taking that story and using it to touch the lives of others. When we begin to say, God, take my story, take my life, and use it in whatever way you want to tell your bigger story, that's when God will do amazing things. I want to close this morning by doing something a little different. I want you to hear from one of our ladies in this church who God put a burden on her heart years ago for something, and she just said, you know, I want to allow that to be my story, to try to touch the lives of others. And we haven't had a chance to hear from her, but I want her to come. Rita Santana, if you would come. And guys, if you'd bring a couple of those chairs up real quick. We'll just take a moment to hear from Rita. If you would give her a hand and thank her for coming. up here today. Thank you. This is Rita Santana. I don't know if you had an opportunity to meet her yet. Ed, where are you? That's Rita's husband in the back there, Ed, and we're so thankful for them being here at LifePoint and for their family and for all that they're doing. And Rita has a really interesting ministry here at LifePoint. I don't know if everybody knows about it, but we wanted you to hear about it today. And Rita, could we just start by maybe sharing with the folks briefly how you came to know Christ?
Sure. Good morning. I was raised in a church all my life. All of my family actually went to the same church. And I was very involved in the youth with our church. So I think I was about 11 or 12 that I received Christ. But it actually wasn't until I was in my late 20s, after my daughter was born, that I really started to build my relationship to more of what it is today.
And God began to put a burden on your heart at some point for young girls to begin to minister to them. Can you share with our folks maybe how that burden came about and how you started to recognize it?
Yes. As I was mentioning, when I started to grow my relationship with Christ, you know, it then turns into more of, you know, as you're maturing, asking the question, what do you want for my life? And I really, truly began to seek God's purpose and His plan and His will for me. And He slowly started to reveal things to me. And in the process of that, I was, and too, I think with my daughter growing older, I just started to see things from a different perspective that I had never seen before, and really started to have a burden for some changes that I was witnessing in little girls. And it seemed to me that they were, and very early in age, beginning to lose their moral innocence. And it was very troubling to see how, it was difficult with the peer pressures, and which has always been around. But to basically be able to be a confident young woman of God, growing more and more difficult to be that in this world that we live in today. So it was different topics like modesty and purity and those things that God was also teaching in my own life. He was showing me things for myself in my maturing with Him. And I just started to grow a heavy heart for little girls and seeking God and saying, what do you want me to do with this? What can I do with this?
So you became aware and more sensitive to that specific burden God was putting on your heart. And you started a thing called Pure Princess Club for Girls. For girls. It's important. No boys allowed. Okay? Sorry, guys. But, I mean, I just think that's neat that, you know, to see how God begins to burden someone's heart with something, and you begin praying, and it starts to get more and more clear. And so you stepped out and started the Pure Princess Club. And tell us how God began to open doors for that.
This was when we lived back in Florida, and I remember specifically one morning, it was about 5 a.m, that's the best time for me to get up and spend time with
well,
the Lord.
Also.
It's quiet in the house, kids still asleep, and this was a very special time. I really felt, you know, the tangible presence of the Lord right there in my dining room. And so much so that I got on my knees and just started, you know, thanking God. He was just ministering to my heart. It was a very emotional, spiritual moment for me. And I knew, it was in that moment that I really knew I was going to do something specific with girls. And I didn't know what. I knew that my etiquette training would play a part of that, but I didn't know how. I didn't have all the answers. But from that point on, I went to the women leaders of my church, and they began to pray with me as well. And it ended up being actually, before it was even a club, it was a conference that we did in my church. It was a Friday night and a Saturday. And we had, my thinking at the time was just to sort of try it on for size, you know, see how it goes. And I didn't want to put myself out there too much. But of course, God has his own ideas about what you should do. So I was thinking really small scale, but we actually had over 100 girls and their moms attend. And so we had different lessons. We taught about modesty and, you know, purity. And I taught a lot of different lessons about etiquette. And I related all of these topics to God's word. Even the etiquette, believe it or not, can certainly relate. And at the end of the conference, there were quite a few girls that actually came to the Lord. So that was a huge, huge thing for me and very confirming in that I knew what I was going to do the rest of my life. Until I came here, we moved to South Carolina, and it was just a little bit different, but putting together the club where the girls would come twice a month, and we would have different lessons, and I was excited because I was able to spend a little bit more time with them and get to know them on a personal level, and that's what we're doing now with the girls.
Well, share with our folks, if you would, just in closing, a little bit about what God has been doing here at LifePoint since you guys moved here. And last Sunday, you had a special event too, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Actually, last Sunday, our girls, we have about 20 girls in our club, and they hosted here in this church, and it didn't look at all like this anymore. We totally rearranged everything, and we hosted a tea party for the girls from the Miracle Hill Children's Home, as well as Church of God Children's Home, although they weren't able to come, as well as Pendleton Place, which is another shelter or orphanage. I don't think they call them orphanages anymore. I'm not sure. But another girls' home downtown. And they came in, and we had a number of different stations for them where they were able to dress up in vintage clothing and the feather boas and the gloves, all that girly stuff. And it was actually our club girls that painted their nails and put on aprons and served tea and food and did crafts with them. So our girls were learning to serve others, which was kind of the highlight for them. They were rushing to the door to greet the little girls, and they were just so thrilled. And then those children came in, and we just tried to make them feel special and loved and to just enjoy their girlhood for a couple of hours, you know. And so it was a blessing for them, I think, and for us as well.
No doubt. Well, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to hear what God is doing with that and so many other things going on here at LifePoint through your lives that we want to hear more about in the months ahead as well. Rita, thank you so much for being obedient to what God put on your heart years ago, and for allowing your burden and your story to become part of the stories of other people. If you would thank Rita for coming. Guys, if you come get the chairs, thank you, Rita. Thank you so much. Well, listen, I want you to know as we wrap this up this morning that your story will look very different from Rita's story. Your story will look very different from my story. I see, you know, I'm so thankful my friend Joel is here today, and what a story this guy has. Joel, you remember last summer we met outside at Starbucks and sat there and had coffee, and you shared some of your story with me, and who would know the story that would unfold since then, brother? And I mean, just what an amazing thing God is doing in his life. And what I want to leave you with this morning is to let you know that whatever your story is, whatever your story has been, God is a part of it. And he wants you to use that story that he's given you to touch the lives of other people. There's no wasted moments with God. Even in the times when we blow it and we get off track, listen carefully, God is still at work in a way that I don't fully understand. He's still at work, even in our worst moments. And it says that a bruised reed he will not break off. What are the moments of your life that maybe you've seen as unimportant and pointless, or worse, the moments of your life that you feel God has abandoned you. And you spend saying, God, where are you in this disease that I have? Why is this happening? God, why did my husband walk out and leave me? Where are you in all of this? Why did my child die? God, why am I struggling? Listen, church, it's all part of your story. And God wants to show Himself through your story to touch the lives of other people. Will you let Him do that? If we as a church begin to pray, God, take my story, good, bad, or ugly, and use it, God, to tell your bigger story of grace. Imagine what God could do. Let's pray. Father, someone once said that history really is His story. And I believe that is true. It's all about You. It is all from You. It's all through You. It's all for You. Everything. And Father, I am still amazed, even after all these years, that You have chosen to fulfill Your mission on this earth through us. I pray this morning that we would understand, maybe some of us for the first time, that if that mission is going to be fulfilled, it is going to be fulfilled by each and every one of us who've been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ, sharing that story of grace just in the day-to-day moments of our lives wherever You've placed us in this world. It's not that we have to grab people by the shirt and ask them if they die, if they're going to heaven. Lord, that approach works for some, but I think for most of us, You just want us to live our story of grace day by day as we interact with others and share Your love and show Your kindness to them and point them to You. God, I pray that all of us here today would be recommitted to understanding that we are part of Your story, and that we would look for opportunities for You to move through us to share that story with others. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
So come back to the light, to the love, you will find it's been here all along. So come back to the start and you'll find in your heart that you always belonged. So come back to the